We're going to open up the Word of God, and we have it up there for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 through 24. And this is what it says. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." And I also love the Message version, and we're going to read that too. It says, "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole." Everyone say holy and whole. "Make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit." Come on. "For the coming of our Master Jesus Christ, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it." Let's pray. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that in the words of C.S. Lewis said, "Think of me as a fellow patient in the same hospital who, having been admitted earlier, could give some advice." Lord, I come humbly knowing that I'm not completely whole. But Lord, I thank you the wisdom that you've been downloading into me throughout the years. I pray that it would translate in the spirit to pierce hearts today. And as we start this series, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are making us whole. You are making us complete, God. There are parts of our lives, of ourselves, of our personhood that we've neglected for too long. And I thank you in this season, we're going to uncover it, but we have hope. You are our hope. If you said it, you'll do it. And you've said that you've come to make us whole. So we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now listen, the first thing I want to tell you, just like I read that C.S. Lewis quote, I do not have it all together. You ask my wife, and she'll testify that I do not have it all together. No person is completely sanctified or whole until they go up to heaven and see Jesus face to face. But I do believe that God is calling us to access a level of holiness, of wholeness, that is better than where we're at right now. You guys ready to do that? Now today, we're setting the stage for what this series is going to be. And so today, I want you to look at today's message like an appetizer. You guys been to a restaurant before, right? Of course. Open up an appetizer. You get an appetizer and you order an appetizer, or you get the menu and you get an appetizer. That's what today's going to be about. We're going to set the context for what this whole series is about. Are you ready? All right, now listen, God calls us as believers, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God to have a vision for wholeness, okay? And so today, you guys are going to catch a vision for wholeness. You know, we throw around this word wholeness, you're going to know exactly what it means. Now, put up this slide. I've made this little cool graphic to explain our personhood, okay? This is who we are. The Bible says that we are made of body, soul, and spirit, all right? Body is very, it's this, okay? And I got a lot of body, hallelujah, right? Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. It's our thought life. It's our feeling life, and it's what we do with those thoughts and emotions that lead us to actions. That's our soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and at the core of who we are is our spirit. Now, how many of y'all know that the moment you came to faith in Jesus Christ, he filled you with his Holy Spirit? And so his Holy Spirit lives in you. That's in the realm of the spirit. Now, a lot of times, we look at, you know, we work on our body. You know, people like, you know, Christopher Huang, look at his body. Body of a God, right? He has a great body. Me, not so much. And a lot of times we work on our spirituality, right? We do things to enhance and grow our spiritual maturity. We pray, we read scripture, we read the word, we confess to one another, we listen to sermons and podcasts. But what I find is that there is a neglected part of our being, and that is our soul, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the soul. Now, the first thing you have to understand is that the spirit, soul, and body are interconnected, okay? And so when you affect one realm of your being, every other realm is affected. It's scientifically proven, and y'all know I'm not good at science, but I researched this. It's scientifically proven that when we think positive and pleasing thoughts, the corresponding emotions release chemicals that are healthy for our bodies. And so if you're a positive thinker, your body will feel the benefits of that positivity. It literally releases chemicals, right? At a micromolecular level, it releases chemicals into your body so that you are healthier, okay? On the other hand, negative thoughts and its corresponding emotions release chemicals that are actually harmful to your body. Now, we have a quote from Brian Seward. You guys are going to see up there. He says, "The body becomes the battlefield for the war games of our mind. All unresolved thoughts and emotions, the negativity we hold on to, show up in the body and makes us sick." Have you ever been so stressed that you feel it in your body? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been so depressed that literally you feel the achings of your sorrow in your physical body? That's what it's saying, is that all parts of us, our soul, our spirit, and our body are interconnected. Now, I'll give you a great example. When I first started performing, some of y'all know I'm a hip-hop artist. When I first started rapping, I used to get so anxious and so nervous. And you know how it would manifest in my body? I used to get this fat red pimple on my nose. And not even like on the side where it kind of looks like a nose ring or anything. Like right in the center of my nose, I would grow a little red pimple every time that I needed to perform. The stress and the anxiety of being in front of people and performing in front of people manifested in my physical body. In the same way, if you don't deal with your soul, you're going to feel the effects of it in your body. Okay? Now, I find that we spend a lot of our time, especially in the church, focusing on our spirituality and our physicality while totally neglecting the soul. Our souls are the most forgotten, neglected part of our being. I can illustrate this no better than from Family Guy, you know? Meg is the forgotten child. If you've ever seen the cartoon, Meg is the forgotten child of the family. If we had a family and it's made of soul, spirit, and body, our soul is the Meg that lives inside of us. Okay, take that down. Listen, in the same way our souls affect our physical bodies, the state of our souls also affect us spiritually. Okay? Your soul is directly tied to your spirit. When you don't regulate your thought life, when you don't regulate your emotional life, when you don't regulate your behavior, it affects you spiritually. Now, we know that our behaviors affect our spirituality. Like, how many of y'all sinned before, right? You do something, and you know it directly affects your spirituality, but what we don't understand is there are emotions that we have not dealt with that directly affect our spirituality, and that's what we're going to go after. Listen, there's this quote by Judah Smith. He said, "You can have millions in the bank." There's no slide for it. "You can have millions in the bank, a Maserati in the driveway, and more Instagram followers than the Pope." And by the way, the Pope has Instagram. Y'all didn't know. Follow him. "But unless your soul is healthy, you won't be happy. Conversely, you might be struggling through the most painful, confusing circumstances of your life, but if your soul is in a healthy place, you will be okay." Now, 3 John 2, there is a slide for this. It says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go with you, even as your soul is getting along well." The Message version says that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. Paul is saying that we are meant to live a life where our soul prospers. And the verse implies that when our souls are healthy and thriving, that everything else can start to prosper. Our spirituality can begin to prosper. Even our physicality can begin to prosper. Even our circumstances can begin to prosper, but it flows out of the prospering of your soul. Our health and wellness doesn't move from the outside in, but from the inside out, okay? And so we're going to go deep in, right? If I had like a little drill, we're going to drill straight into your being, and we're going to dig out all the junk that has made us emotionally unhealthy, and it's going to make you flourish spiritually, physically, and in every realm of your life. What am I saying? God wants us to be whole. Whole in spirit, in soul, and in body. Now, for the purposes of this series, you know, we did a physicality series before, and it failed on me. As you can see, I still have a little junk in the trunk. But for the purposes of this series, we're not going to be focusing so much on the body or the spirit. We're going to be focusing on the soul. Now, let's talk about emotional health. I told you that David and I took a class in seminary, and it was Christian counseling, and we read this book by Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Church, and this just radically changed my life. And so I'm gonna share some of the things. Some of you guys have heard this stuff before, but I'm going to share some of the things instead of foundation for what it means to be emotionally healthy Christians. Peter Scazzaro argues that one of the biggest problems in the church is that we continue to live as emotionally immature Christians. We live as emotional infants. And so we work a lot on our spirituality and every other aspect, but when it comes to our emotions, we are completely infants, okay? And he says, we pray, we fast, we worship, we read scripture. For the sake of the kingdom, we neglect our emotions. How many of you guys have been there where you say, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to feel sad. I ain't got time to feel depressed. I ain't got time to feel disappointed. I ain't got any time for that because there needs to be some soul saving out in the world. Some people need some deliverance. Demons need to be cast out. I'm going to cast everything aside, all my emotions neglected so that I can pursue God. But that is not what God has intended for you. See, you can have a church of thousands, see people saved left and right. You could prophesy and get every single thing right. You could have words of knowledge that are clear and crisp, clearer than anything you could ever understand. But if you don't have a healthy soul, you are not yet thriving. You're not living as God wants you to be. This is why so many people burn out. How many of you guys have experienced personal burnout? And what burnout is you're desperately pursuing God, but you find you get to a point where you just run out of gas in your tank. And you just run out and you are burnt out. You don't want to pursue him anymore. Your whole life feels like it's falling apart. It's because oftentimes we push aside our emotions to pursue God instead of working with God to heal our emotions. And that's what we're going to go after. You see, we've been taught that emotions are a bad and evil thing. But I want you to know that emotions are not a bad thing. Emotions are not an evil thing. In fact, God is an emotional being. The Bible says God has experienced anger. He's experienced hatred. He's experienced compassion, joy, and grief. And let me tell you, you guys could experience hatred. Just direct, there's only one place that you direct your hatred towards. You know who it is towards? Satan. He is the bane of your existence. He wants to see, every bit of hatred, you know why I'm so positive? It's because I channel every ounce of my hatred towards Satan. I hate him, and it's okay to hate him. God hates him. Listen, God is an emotional being. Emotions are an important part of our spiritual lives. Now, Dan Allender says this in one of the books, and you could throw it up there. Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality, and reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. Listen, if our souls had a little mouth, okay, emotions would be the mouth of our soul. It's like, hello, right? The emotions are the mouths of our soul. Emotions are the language of the soul. And emotions are great gauges of how well we are doing, okay? Now, emotions are great servants, but horrible masters. And so I want to make that disclaimer. Emotions are horrible masters, but they're great servants. In other words, if emotions are leading your life, then, you know, the Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful. It will lead you astray. But when we learn to tame our emotions and they become our servants, that's when we could experience a healthy Christian life. What am I getting at? You cannot be spiritually healthy if you're not emotionally healthy. See, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's with your entire being. And so if there's a realm of our lives, of our being that we haven't touched and worked on, it means we're worshiping God with worship that he is less than worthy of. This is why, is so that we can love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Why do we work on our emotions? It's so that we can love him with everything that we have. And the second commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. Why do we work on our emotions? So that we can love our neighbors with all of our heart, soul, and mind too. Listen, we're going to explore this in weeks to come, and especially next week, we're going to talk about our past a little bit more. But what happens when we experience pain in our lives is that we close ourselves off from feeling the pain, okay? I don't know if you've experienced this or if you're aware of it, but when we close our hearts off from letting pain in, we also close our hearts off from letting all the good things in too. And so what happens oftentimes is we have this pain that we've experienced, trauma that we've experienced in our life, whether it's small or big, and our natural reaction is to close ourselves off from feeling the pain, right? How many of you guys, if you're being attacked by someone, you're going to get in defense position, right? If someone comes at you with a sword, if I come at Keone with a sword, Lord believe, he's going to grab a shield, he's going to get in defense position or run, right? In the same way, when pain comes at us, we either try to close ourselves off or we run away from it. Either way, our emotions are neglected, okay? And so what happens is we close ourselves off or we run away, but we also close ourselves off from the good things too. And that's why when you're not emotionally healthy, chances are you're not enjoying God the way that he wants you to enjoy him. How many of you have been there where emotionally you're a wreck and it's hard for you to receive anything spiritually? See, it's directly tied together. When we close our hearts from letting pain in, we also close ourselves off from all the good things that God gives. We're no longer able to enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was young, I had a best friend, and my best friend was a little out of his mind, because when I came over, there would be times where he would grab his BB gun, and the game would be run, or I'ma shoot you. And so we were inside of his house, and my friend had BBs loaded in his BB gun. And I don't know why I always got the short end of the stick, but my job in this game would be just to run, okay? Now, I remember that my friend's mom would always leave out a bunch of snacks before we played anything. And so she had all these snacks laid out in the living room. And so I remember we'd start to play this game, and my strategy always was to run to the closet, close it shut, and lock it. And there was no light in the closet. And so I was just literally in the dark, in the closet by myself, evading my friend with the BB gun. And there would come a time where I would get extremely hungry. And I would think about all the snacks in the living room, but because I'm locked in the closet with the door shut and the lights off, I have no access to the snacks that I'm desiring. Can I get an amen? Now listen, in the same way, when we experience pain, pain is like my friend who had the BB gun. And pain, what pain forces you to do is lock yourself in so that you're safe. But what happens is when you're safe in that place, you can't enjoy the benefits of your time at your best friend's house. Can I get an amen? You can't enjoy the snacks. In the same way, when we close ourselves off because we've experienced pain, we also close ourselves off from the nourishment and the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Dan Allender goes on to say, we often turn a deaf ear through emotional denial, distortion, or disengagement. We strain out anything disturbing in order to gain tenuous control of our inner world. We are frightened and ashamed of what leaks into our consciousness. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. I have this clip from one of my favorite movies. It might not be in order, but how many of you guys have seen Inside Out? All right, I want you to guess who the Christian is.
Hello, did I wake you?
You have to play that.
Well, I have to practice, and I don't think of it as playing so much as hugging. Okay, first day of school, very, very exciting. I was up late last night figuring out a new plan. Here it is. I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school.
Way ahead of you there. Does anyone know how to spell meteor?
Discuss. Make sure Riley stands out today, but also blends in.
When I'm through, Riley will look so good, the other kids will look at their own outfits and fart.
Joy.
Yes, Joy?
You'll be in charge of the console, keeping Riley happy all day long. And may I add, I love your dress. It's adorable. Oh, this old thing? Thank you so much. I love the way it curls.
Train of thought. Right on schedule.
Anger. Unload the daydream. I ordered extra in case things get slow in class.
Might come in handy if this new school is full of boring, useless classes, which it probably will be.
Oh, sadness. I have a super important job just for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Follow me. And there. Perfect. This is the circle of sadness. Your job is to make sure that all the sadness stays inside of it.
So, you want me to just stand here?
Hey, it's not my place to tell you how to do your job. Just make sure that all the sadness stays in the circle.
See? You're a pro at this. Isn't this fun?
No.
Attagirl. All right, everyone.
All right. See, most of us are like Joy. We're like, oh, God is good. Oh, he blesses me. Yay. Like, we carry this facade that everything is okay. And what we do is we never entertain the emotions that seem like the bad emotions or the negative emotions. And because we never deal with it, we never get to experience God in a powerful way through those emotions. How many of you guys know, just like in the movie, that sadness is a way that you could experience and know God? Huh? How many of you guys know that these negative emotions that we often neglect are opportunities to know God in a way that we have never known. You can never know God as comforter if you've never been brokenhearted. You can never know God as the lifter of our souls if you haven't been down in the pit. Most of us, we don't let ourselves go there. And so listen, throughout the weeks, it's scary, but we're going to go down there. And we're gonna dig up places where we've neglected our negative emotions, and we're going to invite God into those dark places. Amen? Can I get an amen? Now listen, disclaimer, there are plenty of people outside of the church who are way more emotionally healthy than people in the church. Isn't that true? Do you all know that one? You think he's a closet believer? Because he's just so healthy, like emotionally, holistically, he just seems whole. He seems he has it all together, and you think, why isn't he Christian? And why don't more people in the church look like him, right? Y'all have that one friend who's not saved. But listen, emotions and spirituality, those are what makes a transformed life. And so if you're emotionally healthy, but you don't have spirituality, how many of you guys know that those people, even though they seem like they have it all together, they're still missing something? See, we have the spirituality part down. What the church is learning in this time, in this era, is the emotions part. When spirituality and emotions come together, lives are dramatically transformed. And so the question is this. This is the vision that I want to cast. What does wholeness look like? I mean, does wholeness look like the body of Ryan Gosling and the personality of some of your favorite? No, what does wholeness look like? Wholeness is this. Wholeness is an undivided or unbroken completeness with nothing wanting. It's saying that there's a completeness to you, every part of you. There's no part that is wavering or broken. Now, how many of you guys know that our faith isn't centered on principles or ideas? Our faith is centered on a person. Jesus is our model for what wholeness looks like. Listen, we all need a prototype to model after. If you're trying to lose weight this year, don't you come to me. And I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't come to me. You're going to find someone like Ying or Christopher or Kevin Libertino who has the body of God. You're going to go to someone who would be a good model or a prototype. In the same way, as we're pursuing wholeness, as we're pursuing emotional health, Jesus is our prototype. Okay, he's the one that we're going to follow and model ourselves after. Now, Jesus made it clear that at the end of our lives, the only thing that's really going to matter is how well we loved God, how well we loved others, okay? And you know that how we love others is affected by how we love ourselves. What am I trying to say? When we are whole, just as Jesus was, we're able to love God completely, and we're able to love others and ourselves completely. What is wholeness going to look like? Wholeness is going to look like you have the freedom and the enjoyment of loving God with all of who you are. What does wholeness look like? You're going to have the freedom and the wholeness and the enjoyment to love people as they are and to love yourself. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, how many of you guys have that one friend or that one person in your life that just triggers you? Like something in you is just triggered. Do you know what I'm talking about? Christian and I, now that we're married and we're getting closer, the closer you get to someone, all of a sudden, all your triggers start getting and it sets you off, right? And so we've been there, and if you've ever gotten close to someone, you know you've been there too. How many of y'all have brothers or sisters, and they just know the right things to say to just set you off? What does wholeness look like? Wholeness looks like even if Krista is the transgressor, which she never is, by the way, it means I'm still able to love you completely and freely. It means my defenses don't pop up. I'm not triggered and my love is cut off. It means I can love you freely, even if you're the worst person in the world, even if you're the most annoying person in the world. This is why Jesus wasn't just extremely patient because he was patient, but because he was whole. There weren't parts of his being that were triggered when people would come and go through the crowd and bother him after he did a complete sermon series on wholeness, whatever. Like no one, Jesus was never annoyed. He was never triggered. Why? Because he was complete and whole. In the same way, in your relationship with God, how many of you guys have ever experienced, like, you know, for me growing up, I didn't have a great relationship with my dad, and so it was hard for me to relate to God as Father. What wholeness looks like is a complete, clear path between you and God. You able to hear his voice. You able to feel his nearness. That's what we're going after. And the last is towards yourself. too many of us hate ourselves. It's not because we just see things the wrong way. It's because we have glasses or we have lenses of pain that we see ourselves, we see others, and we see God through. And so that's what wholeness looks like. If we look at the life of Jesus, his freedom to love God, his freedom to love people and to even love himself, that's what we're going after. And so what you're going to experience at the end of this series is a greater freedom to love God, a greater freedom to love the people around you, even if they are the worst, most annoying, wretched people in the world, which they're not, by the way, and a freedom to love yourself. Wholeness allows us to enjoy unrestricted love towards God, others, and ourselves. In other words, life gets to be experienced the way it was meant to be experienced. You know, I think this is the verse of my life, that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Listen, if you're not living life to the full, you're living beneath the experience that God wants you to have. And wholeness is a way that we can live life to the full. Now, to give you a little clearer picture of what this looks like, Jesus gave promises for what the whole person would experience. And there's three things that I want to highlight, okay? The first is this. When you are whole, you experience freedom. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's just a freedom when you're completely whole and healed to love people without restriction, to love God without restriction, to love yourself without restriction. In the same way, sometimes the pain of our past causes addictions. How many of you guys have ever been addicted in habitual sin? It could have been pornography. It could have been stealing. You know, I look like an innocent, nice, chubby Korean boy. But when I was little, I used to go into Best Buy every weekend, and I used to steal CDs. And I had an intricate way of doing it. I used to open the packaging, pull out the cover art, pull out the CD, put it in my back pocket, walk out so no alarm rings. And I literally filled up a giant CD case full of stolen CDs. I still have them. I'm going to return them one day. My punishment is that CDs are outdated. We don't use them anymore. And so, I'm just kidding. Okay. And so what happens when we don't deal with our pain? Sometimes we form addictions. It could be to drugs, to alcohol. We want to escape the reality of our pain. And there's a restriction to being fully you. How many of you guys just want to be free to be yourself, but find it difficult sometimes? Listen, when you experience wholeness, you're free to be yourself. You're free to love others, and you're free to love God. The first one is freedom. The second, when you are whole, you experience peace. John 14:27, I leave behind with you peace. I give you my own peace, and my gift is nothing like the peace of this world. Peace that is not determined by circumstances, but peace that is an internal drive. And so even if storms are raging around you, you just be like Jesus, chilling on the boat, sleeping, right? That's the kind of peace that God promises to give. When you are whole, when you experience wholeness, you experience peace. How many of you guys have ever been anxious that you won't be liked, right? Or afraid that people will leave you? Or you've experienced anger and bitterness towards people who have wronged you? How many of you guys have ever experienced that? When you experience wholeness, you will experience peace. There's no inner turmoil anymore towards God, towards others, and towards yourself. And last one's my favorite. When you are whole, you experience joy. Everyone just say joy. And this is my favorite. In John 15:9-11, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, I get sad when I walk into church sometimes, because when I see people worshiping, they don't look like they're enjoying themselves. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you show up for worship and someone's just like, How many of you guys know that your relationship with God was meant to be enjoyed? But what happens is when we have undealt issues in our emotions, it's like we can't feel the joy of being in his presence. And I'm sure that you've experienced joy in his presence before. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You ain't just here for a religion. You've tasted and seen that he is good. That's supposed to be our position in life, that we get to enjoy our relationship with God. We get to enjoy our relationship with others. You know, I understand, because how many of you guys have ever been there or had a friend who's just unable to enjoy friendship or relationship? And what I'm talking about is, you know, it's the kind of friend that always say, I'm drama-free, okay? I'm remain drama-free, but they always fighting with someone. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have that one friend, or maybe it's you and you're getting convicted right now, but it's like, you say, you know, I'm not the problem, but every other week, they end something with someone else. You know what I'm talking about? Chances are, it's not them, it's you. It's that person. But when you experience the joy that comes with wholeness, you're able to enjoy relationships and friendships. You don't place unrealistic expectations upon people. You're just able to enjoy them for who they are. And lastly, you're able to enjoy yourself. You know, a lot of us know that God loves us, but not a lot of us know that God likes us. You see, there have been times where I felt like my father loved me. I know he loved me. He would never throw me out. He's providing for me. But sometimes I wondered if he liked me, if I was the son that he wanted, if my personality is something that he enjoyed. What we're going to experience when we experience wholeness is the ability to enjoy ourselves, to actually like yourself. You know, there might be things about you that you want to change with New Year's resolutions, but I want you to experience the joy of yourself, of who God made you, enjoying him, enjoying yourself the way he enjoys you. And so there's these three things that we get to experience when we experience wholeness in our vertical relationship, in our horizontal relationship, and in our center relationship. We get to enjoy freedom, we get to enjoy peace, and we get to enjoy joy. Now I want you to know there's hope, okay? And this is the point of today's message, is just this, to give you vision for wholeness and give you hope for wholeness. Next week, we're starting to do surgery, okay? And so you don't want to miss that. And I'm glad we're starting community groups next week, because you're going to need some help around you after we start surgery. But this week, this is a positive message. I'm just giving you hope today, okay? I'm just infusing you with hope, giving you a vision for why you would want to even become whole. And we're going to look at John 5, 1 through 9, okay? And we're going to end with this illustration. In John 5, 9, this is what it says, starting from verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 30 years. In other words, there was someone who had been paralyzed for 38 years. How many of y'all older than 38? We have no grid for what 38 years. Oh, Sonny, come on, give it up. We have no grid for what 38 years. But imagine that you go through 38 years of your life without any hope. And there might have been a time where you believed, maybe if I go into the pool, God will heal me. But time and time again, you're disappointed and you don't receive healing. He was utterly hopeless. Listen, I've been chubby for 15 years. And I'm at that place where I was about to lose hopelessness. But this year, the Lord gave me hope that I'm going to look amazing this year. I already look amazing, but I'm going to look more amazing, right? In the same way, this man, not in the same way, but this man who's paralyzed, 38 years, utterly hopeless, did not have a single ounce of hope that he would be healed. Now, if we look in the next verse, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And the question Jesus is asking all of us today is, do you want to get well? Anthony, do you want to get well? Good answer. Isaac, do you want to get well? Cass, do you want to get well? Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? You see, Jesus has an invitation for this man to experience healing and restoration for his physical body. In the same way, Jesus is extending an invitation to us this morning to experience wholeness, to experience healing and restoration, especially in our soul and our emotions. Jesus didn't come for the well. He came for the broken. And that encourages me, because I know Jesus came for me, because I'm messed up. Jesus came for the broken. Now, if we look on, it says, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And it's kind of like Jesus was asking, do you want to get well? I'm offering you this. But the man was so hopeless that he didn't even hear, do you want to get well? That question didn't even exist in his realm of possibility. And you know what I find? Some of us who have been broken for so long and those who are aware of it, we're like the invalid. Where Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? But we don't even hear it. Or it's not even in our realm of possibility. I've been struggling with this addiction for so long that I don't have hope that I could get out of it. I've been struggling with this pain for so long that I feel like I'll never be healed of it. But Jesus is saying, do you want to get well? And if you look in the last verse, it says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Listen, Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? And when he's asking that, he's not asking an empty question. He's saying, I have what it takes for you to get well. And even though the man was hopeless and faithless, all it took was the words of Jesus, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And it was so. Listen, Jesus could turn it all around. There are places in your heart, in your emotions, in your life that may feel hopeless, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is hope for you. Jesus is hope for your healing, your restoration, and your wholeness. Listen, your wholeness isn't dependent on your ability. I don't care if you go to 1,000 psychiatrists. I don't care if you read 1,000 self-help books. I don't care if you do all these things, meditation, yoga, whatever you try. It doesn't matter. Your ability will not make you whole. Jesus is the restorer of your soul. He is the healer and the restorer of our souls. And listen, that's good news for me, because Lord knows I cannot do anything for myself. I could barely cook and clean after myself. My wife could testify. But God has come to be your hope, to be your restorer, to be your healer. He is the one that's going to do it. And so if you're tired, I'm here to tell you that it's okay. He's come for the tired and the weary, and he's going to take your burden, and he's going to bring healing. Do you want to get well? If we look at the verse that we looked at in the beginning, the end says, the one who calls you is faithful. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. And last verse I want us to look at today is Philippians 1:6, and it says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I want to invite Connie back up, and can you play something pretty in the background? You turn the lights down. We're gonna enter into a time of response. You know, in 2013, it was one of the hardest years of my life. And it's my fault, because I asked God, God, I want to grow deeper in love with you beyond the hype. And he really brought it in 2013. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you don't know what you're asking for. And in 2013, I got to this place where I was so engrossed in ministry. I was doing a lot. But I found that I wasn't taking care of my soul. I wasn't taking care of my emotions. And so for the sake of the kingdom, I was throwing everything else aside to do things that I felt like God was pleased with, but at the cost of my soul, at the cost of my health. And I got to a place where I was so hardened and so numb and so broken that I just felt like quitting everything. And this was in church. I was working at church. And I just wondered if this is the cost of following him. How many of us have been there? Like, you just think, is this the cost of following you, God? Where I'm just suffering. Where I feel like I'm not together. Where I feel broken. Is this just the cost of following you? But I remember that year, something God spoke to me. He said this. He said, Mickey, everything that you're doing is good, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is me. And in me, the promise that I give is that my burden is light and my yoke is easy. In me, what I promise is by my stripes you are healed. And earlier, Curtis said that because of the wounds Jesus experienced on his body, the wounds in our lives are healed. And immediately I felt hope rise, knowing that this is not how God called us to live. He didn't call us to walk around broken, limp-legged, He called us to walk around whole, to have life and have it to the full. The question I want to ask you is, do you want to get well? Jesus is standing before you. Some of you feel paralyzed or blind or deaf. You can't hear the voice of God. You can't see his goodness in your life. You can't move anywhere. You're immobilized. And Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? And I believe there's others of you that have no idea of your brokenness. And you're wondering, this sermon is not making sense. But I believe in the weeks to come, Jesus is going to reveal how you could become more whole. He's going to reveal how you could receive more healing, to be aware of your pain and your brokenness. Listen, he is hope for the hopeless. And today I believe he's going to infuse you with hope. And so I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to just ask God, God, would you illuminate the area in my life that you're going to heal in this season? And I just want you to pick one. And this one area where you receive healing is going to be the prototype for how you receive healing, every other area. But just choose one right now. One area where you need to experience healing. One area where you want to see God make you whole. One area where you need hope. What is that one place where you want to experience the hope, the healing, and the wholeness of God?